What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's my first year I'm bringing a TV. So I haven't brought a TV ever before, but NCAA came out and I'm going to have to turn it on. So I brought a TV for NCAA and the Olympics. So that's my first year of doing that.
Everything's coming up, Mahomes. So he and his wife just welcomed a third child.
Just announced.
Oh, they just announced.
Yeah, that they're pregnant. Yep.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I thought they had their baby, so that would have been perfect timing to go to training camp, sleeping at the facility with three little ones running around. But two at home. Well, either way, if you're two young kids, playing video games at work isn't the worst thing in the world. So Mahomes arrived looking to be the first three-peat. Since has there been, when was the last? There's never been a Super Bowl three-peat, I believe. Did the Steelers win three in a row in the 70s?
I'm not sure.
Well, Derek will call. No. But either way, looking to do something Brady never did, which is win three straight Super Bowls. And I just landed on this. I am shocked by this. So, Shime, Wiggy, Courtney, well, we'll all give our opinion here. So, I do not believe with Patrick Mahomes, this Patriots team is in the Super Bowl. I don't think they're likely an AFC championship team. I'd say their ceiling is probably like 11 wins. Shime, you believe the Patriots, as currently constituted, everything remains the same. You put Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. What is their ceiling?
I think they win the... I think they're in the AFC championship game minimum and are favorites to make it to the Super Bowl.
Holy cow.
Agreed.
Yeah,
this defense is as good as the Kansas City defense was last year. And that's all Patrick Mahomes needed because he makes a couple plays, gets a couple turnovers, and boom, you win every game.
But their offense isn't talent-wise on paper. It's not like it's Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, you know, a bunch of studs. It's really Travis Kelce and then just a bunch of
and all
Jags.
Regular season, Kelce was just kind of half of what he had been the previous few years.
And he's not the same. Yeah, he's definitely not the same Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I think you're underestimating Joe Tooney. You're underestimating the Andy Reid offense there. You're underestimating Mecole Hardman. Who is the Patriots? So Ramondre Stevenson is... I guess, I don't know. I watched the Chiefs last year, and yes, Mahomes is a magician, but their offense in every other element was better than the Patriots' offense.
Well, that's because of Mahomes, right?
So you think all the receivers here, just like with Brady, are all much better?
Oh, yes. Like, you think about this. Remove Travis Kelce from the situation. Their second-best wide receiver on that team is Rashee Rice, who was, I believe he was a rookie last
Correct.
Year. Right, and he had
not a great driver. Is
No. And he had 938 yards on the season. And then you start to look after that. Then it's Isaiah Pacheco, who's a running back.
If Patrick Mahomes Kadarius had a healthy Kendrick Bourne, he's a 1,000-yard receiver.
I mean, but I would say the Patriots with Tom Brady in his final year went 12-4.
Yep.
And they lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
Are you saying that the biggest difference is the defense then isn't what it is now?
Like, yes. I also think Patrick Mahomes could do more with less at that point, like at this point, than Tom Brady could at that point. You know what I mean? Like Tom Brady was still the greatest of all time, and he could still win in the biggest moments. But Patrick Mahomes can just do more with less than what Tom Brady could at that point.
Right. Mahomes is more where Brady was in 06 and elevating
Correct.
Than he was in 2019.
And they elevate in different ways, right? Mahomes has the ability to, when things break down physically with his legs, and be able to get out of crazy situations and find somebody you know, after a play is broken down, where Brady is more mental and could do all these type of things pre-snap and make sure he's getting the ball to the right receiver. So that's why I think when you start to look at, you know, Brady, at older Brady, you know, you got to put some good, like some good pieces around him. Whereas Mahomes, being a younger guy and where he is, he can make something out of nothing, and then he's very talented when he gets outside the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, texters, so you can text the show 37937 on the Subaru of New England text line. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. 207, the Chiefs line is so much better than ours. That's why we lost. That's why Tampa lost to the, I mean, why the Chiefs lost to Tampa. They bolstered it.
Yeah, but the Chiefs were still in the Super Bowl with a bad offensive
Chiefs
line.
Chiefs have Hollywood Brown. Mahomes would get smashed behind the Pats' offensive line. I mean, this is like the national debt of disagreeing here.
The Chiefs just got Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, he's never played with Patrick Mahomes until this year. I mean, they haven't even taken a snap together yet.
So you think this Patriots team wins what, 12 games?
With Patrick Mahomes? 12-5 sounds right, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, with this, Curtis, they're going to have a top five defense, and then you'd have the greatest quarterback by far in the NFL. Yes, they absolutely win 12
games. So then why didn't they do more to go after, like, I don't know who was available, but if they just got Lamar Jackson, you think this team is in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, they're winning. Lamar Jackson wins 70% of his regular season games.
It's a
every
different
year.
That's why we all wanted him.
But yeah, he's so good.
Then why aren't people more pissed at Kraft?
Well, I think I think people are. When you start to think about the NFL, and we've talked about this, it's about your quarterback. And if your quarterback is at, you know, and there's only one of them, but if your quarterback is Mahomes status or Josh Allen status or Lamar Jackson status, they're instantly going to elevate you. Now, there's no guarantee you win a Super Bowl, but you are going to be a Super Bowl
contender
or favorite, or, you know, based on what the team you have around. Like, if Lamar Jackson is here or Josh Allen is here with this defense, aren't people talking about the Patriots being, you know, a team that should be competing for a Super Bowl?
So then if you think Drake May is going to play and you think Drake May is great, why isn't this team a playoff team?
Well, because I disagree with Shime as of right now. Drake May is not on the level of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
I don't think he's going to be that good right away. That's why I have them at like 7 or 8 wins. But that's why I have them blowing past the 4.5 win total. I think that's like that number should minimum be 5.5, 6, 6.5. Like that, they are I don't think there's any way they lose or they win less than 6 games.
It's like
if May is playing the entire year.
C.J. Stroud. We think he's a really good quarterback, but I don't think Houston's a Super Bowl contender. They're a playoff team, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender just yet.
Yeah, I feel like the Patriots are. I'm with Shime on the win total. I think what everybody forgets, because we've all wanted to forget last year, it was awful. Mm-hmm. Watching that team last year was just, it wasn't real football. I mean, even that, like, that Washington game that Courtney was at was just, I mean, the home slate sucked. Mm-hmm. They were not good. The Saints game was one of the worst games I can ever remember, following up the Cowboys loss. Mm-hmm. If the offense is baseline, just not an abomination, not the worst thing we've ever seen, there are a couple games better.
And how many wins do you think they have this year?
I think 7-10.
7-10. That's 7-10.
Great record.
So imagine...
Get the duck boats ready.
So imagine 7-10 without Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. Imagine if you have Patrick Mahomes. Now, isn't he good for our next at least
3? Yeah, there are 10 wins with Patrick Mahomes. I don't think 12. I think there are 10-17.
All right, so they're a 10-win team, and maybe your defense sneaks you one more, but I would say they're somewhere between 10-11 wins, which is gonna put you right in the mix
if they don't get him killed.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to remember City. So, I mean, what is the you have Dave? I mean, I love
you got Andrews.
Gresh, I hope you're enjoying Bermuda, listening into the offensive line talk here in July. But you have David Andrews at center. On when you at right tackle.
Yep.
You have Cole Stranger than you at left guard.
No, Cole Strange won't be starting because of the injury.
Okay,
it'll be
so
Nick
City
Leverett.
City So
will probably be the other guard.
And who's the other guard?
Nick Leverett. And the kid you just signed. You signed from Tampa, Nick Leverett.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And
then
who's
it's your left tackle.
Chuck Okorafor.
Okay. So,
I actually
not great.
Think, I know. I actually think City So is could take a massive step forward mm-hmm. this year. He showed a lot of potential at guard last year.
Greg actually was talking to me last night. He said the exact same thing.
It's crazy because Gresh makes fun of me all the time. I ripped the crap out of City So when they drafted him because they drafted him as a tackle. He's got the shortest arms in the game.
Right.
But you know what? Don't need long arms to play guard, no. And that's what he's really good at.
Short arms is what Santo has at Capitol Grill.
And he had a 4th percentile arm length.
And he was actually pretty good when he played at guard last year, City.
He was.
He wasn't a turnstile. I think he was better than
Cole Strange.
Yeah, so it's people always say the offensive line, and yeah, I know that that's a big part of it. But when you look at Kansas City's offensive line, Donovan Smith's their left tackle. Is Donovan Smith like Walter Jones?
No, he almost got Brady killed.
Right.
Yeah, he stinks.
Right, and then so other than the center, the Humphreys kid, and Joe Tooney.
And last year they had Juwan Taylor, who was offsides on every single play.
Right. So they don't call it.
True, fair point.
So I think, and you've seen it in the past with the Patriots, especially, I understand the coaching was different, but with Dante Scarnecchia, it's getting guys to, you know, play a little bit better, play above their talent. But when you have a great quarterback, it doesn't make the offensive – it helps the offensive line, right? So when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, that actually helps the offensive line because he can make the right read and get the ball out of his hands quickly and do some of the things when it does break down and get out of the pocket. Same with Brady. When you have a guy that smart, he's always making the best read. So the offensive line might not look as bad because the ball's constantly out of his hands. A guy like Lamar Jackson, it's hard to tell because he's such a great athlete. He makes that offensive line look good. So when you start to look at these players, and if you have decent talent, those type of quarterbacks, like Josh Allen, elevate everybody around it, or they're able to hide some of those warts that you don't see because of their skill set.
Right. Patrick Mahomes is football's nice Instagram filter. It makes everything look nice.
Yes, exactly.
And by the way, but it's wild. Everybody on the text line disagrees with you guys. Mahomes would have a worse line, a worse coach, no reliable big play threat. Shime's whole theory is based on Mayo continuing to keep the defense on a Bill Belichick level of play. I question Mayo's ability to keep that level. Wiggy's an idiot. I did not text that.
Sorry.
Is Coco playing World right now? No, she's getting ready for the news.
Yeah, sorry. I was writing the news.
Big segment there. A lot of football, hot stove, cold stove. Mm-hmm. Wiggy, so I'm not. What wins do you have? How many for the Patriots this year?
I'm on the same thing. I'm somewhere between 6, 7, and 8.
Ooh, baby. I like it. Courtney, you're a little lower, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to get to what's trending, and then we're going to get to They Said It, and then we'll have the news. Action packed. Next 20 minutes. Don't leave.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. It is always crazy to me when people say Courtney fell off. Well, if you pay attention every single day between the hour of 6 a.m. and 7:30, the news isn't going to write itself. So
True.
No, not you. Oh, people.
That's the other thing is that when you start talking to somebody, you're like, why is he talking sports? You can't win.
Yeah.
Or if you do talk, you say, why are you talking so much?
Right. Exactly.
Well, make up your mind. Can't win.
Figure it out.
Brad Stevens has weighed in on Jaylen Brown not being named to Team USA. Here's what he had to say.
Jalen's a great player. Jaylen, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that Jaylen could be on any team, could be on any Olympic team in any year, right? And but at the end of the day, you know, I think his approach, and you know, he talked about how he called Derek, he talked about his own feelings from it. But I know this about Jaylen: whether he has success and gets all the accolades like Finals MVP or Eastern Conference Finals MVP, or if he feels like he got left off a team, I know he's going to be motivated and hungry regardless.
I like the music in the background.
I know.
Yeah. Was that a Brad Stevens?
Was that SZA?
I do not know.
It sounded like it.
Yeah. Brad Stevens loves SZA.
Fenway Sports Group has pulled out of talks to buy French football team Bordeaux. In round one of the Open is underway at Royal Troon Golf Club in Scotland. Shime, what are we doing there?
Yeah, Justin Thomas fell apart a little bit on the back nine, so he's dropped down to 1 under. There are currently 5 guys tied for the lead at 2 under, the lone American being Chris Kirk. But the leader right now, Alex Noren, has finished his round already, 2 under on the deck.
And this is the team event, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
That's the Ryder Cup.
Okay, all right.
That's the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup. Right. This is just the Open. This is the 4th major of the year.
Okay.
Fun fact, Shime, you'll be the only one that finds this interesting.
I'm ready.
I think I'm going to a wedding. Well, I know I'm going to a wedding next summer at Adair Manor, where the Ryder Cup will be in 2027. It'll be the last event that they'll hold before
another wedding.
next summer.
How much money are you guys spending when it's
Well, this is one of my best friends. So.
She's not paying no debts. She's not paying for
y'all. I don't know.
Yeah. I hope Scissor's there.
SZA.
Oh, SZA.
Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is currently 72 degrees in Boston. A chilly afternoon high, only 87.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up the Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the ass.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, Shime, it's time for They Said It. We got the news coming in a couple minutes. Where do we begin this morning?
Well, Curtis, let's begin. We've been talking football a lot this morning, so let's begin. In the NFL, Mike Lombardi joined Pat McAfee yesterday and talked about how the San Francisco 49ers are not going to be trading Brandon Ayuk.
The NFL is not the NBA. You can't be James Harden in the NFL. You can't say, I demand a trade, and then Daryl Morey will trade you. Like, you could say all the demands you want, but the 49ers aren't trading Brandon Ayuk. Here's the real rub. They don't want to trade Ayuk, and they want to pay Ayuk. The difference here is simply this. He has a certain level of value, and they have a certain level of what they perceive as value. It's called a negotiation, right? And so that's really the rub. It isn't because we don't want you or they don't want him.
So a couple things. Does Mike Lombardi not follow the NFL offseason? Like, Steph Diggs wanted to trade.
He got traded.
He got traded twice.
Right.
I mean, it happens all the time. Tyreek Hill.
Devontae Adams.
Tyreek Hill wanted a new contract.
They traded him. I mean, so I don't even know what it's not like. It's literally the receivers in the NFL are almost entirely like the NBA right now.
It's like the one position in football that is like NBA players.
Right. I mean, and even the quarterback, Brady began that where you have Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Tom wasn't traded, but he was released of his contract. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, I feel like maybe they won't trade Ayuk, but it's not won't be because teams don't trade for receivers that are disgruntled.
Right. I think if somebody offered the 49ers a first-round draft pick for Ayuk, I think they would trade him.
I mean, if the 49ers, if the Patriots offered a first-round pick and they said no, they should be, like, think about that. I mean, if I know Shime thinks Mahomes, worst case, you're looking at a 14 or a better draft pick next year for Ayuk if you get the Patriots' first-round pick.
Like, oh, you mean record-wise?
Yeah, I think the Patriots will be drafted if they have a great year.
Even if they're 8-9.
Right, you're looking at, what, 6-15, 16?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, at worst. Like,
at worst.
More likely that it's somewhere between 10 and 13.
Right. So why wouldn't they do that if they don't want to keep them long-term?
They would be stupid not to.
But here's what I'll say to you, Shime, about Drake May and weapons, right? If Drake May needs weapons around him, then why would you take him at 3 when you could surround a 7th-round pick with great players?
But that was kind of my lead this morning. I don't think you need better weapons. Like I think if the quarterback is great, he elevates the people around him. Just like C.J. Stroud last year, Nico Collins was a nobody leading into last season. But because C.J. Stroud was excellent, he made Nico Collins a legit number one receiver, and Tank Dell in his rookie season was awesome. Like that's my whole point, is that I think when the quarterback is really good, you elevate the talent around you.
And I would say to this, Curtis, to that point, with case in point with a guy like Brandon Ayuk, what's easier to get, an elite receiver from a trade or a really good quarterback.
Elite receiver.
Yeah.
Right. So you, if you draft the young quarterback, you can always get that elite receiver who's going to be disgruntled in a trade.
Right.
It's going to, if you draft like Marvin Harrison, now you have to find the quarterback, and it's not as easy to find that guy as it is, or like I'm not even going to say an elite quarterback, but a really good quarterback. I mean, look at Trevor Lawrence and how much money they're paying him. So it's going to be very difficult for you to even trade for a guy like that.
Well, you're even look at Daniel Jones. Even in that level, you're right.
Right. So now you're like, do we want Marvin Harrison Jr. with Daniel Jones or that type of quarter or Geno Smith?
But you did want Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I didn't mind that.
But you would be fine if it was he and Jacoby Brissett?
No, hell no.
So then?
Because there was a conversation of Marvin Harrison Jr. and potentially getting a guy like Justin Fields or trading or like a Dak Prescott next year. That was really the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, you could convince me to do that. But you can't convince me Marvin Harrison Jr. and then Bo Nix in the second round or whoever that quarterback would have been. Give me Drake May, and then guess what? Brandon Ayuk wants out. Didn't T. Higgins want to be traded?
Right.
Yeah,
and
he
then
still
now
wants
you
to
just
be traded.
Now you just go get one of those guys.
Yeah, I think, and Courtney, I did want Marvin Harrison, and in hindsight, I think I may have been mistaken, because my reasoning behind drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. was, it is far more likely that Marvin Harrison Jr. is closely performing at the level he did in college in the NFL. Like, so talented.
He's going to hit more than,
right.
Yeah.
He's just not going to be, from my perspective, I don't think he's going to be a bust. There is the potential for bust at quarterback. We've seen players that we all thought were going to be good turn into absolute dogs. So that's why I wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. But what Wiggy was just saying, and the way in which you're able to elevate, whether it's Tua or Brock Purdy or any one of these quarterbacks, you're able to get a known commodity at wide receiver because there's always going to be one or two that feel like they're not getting market value. And no position in sports, really, recently, has had the renaissance that receivers have in the NFL the last couple of years in the NFL.
Well, in large part, it's because now, at a younger age, it's 7-on-7 football or flag football, right, where it's the athletes that are excelling, the receivers and the running backs, whereas offensive linemen have been kind of sparse to find. And so it becomes, there are always, every draft class now going forward is going to have a million great receivers, but there's going to be limited tackles and limited quarterbacks in every draft always.
I love it. All right, next, Shime.
Next, we'll stay in the NFL here. So ESPN has been releasing their lists of top 10 players at positions based on voting from scouts and executives across the league.
One quick interruption.
Go for it.
Don't let me forget, at 8, I need to talk about, have you seen this ESPN top 100 athlete list?
Yes. I heard Pat McAfee talking about it, but I didn't see it.
It is the worst list ever created. Don't let me forget.
All right,
8 o'clock. Okay, carry on.
Perfect. So ESPN's doing their top 10 players at each position in the NFL. One of the quotes about a quarterback came out. That would be about Josh Allen. The quote was basically saying that Josh Allen was extremely overrated. Dan Orlovsky not happy with who this anonymous executive was.
He's an idiot, that source, respectfully. I don't mean to be like that. That's moronic to say, first of all. Greeny, in the last four seasons, the only quarterback that has a better plus-minus turnover-to-touchdown ratio is Patrick Mahomes. So he's the only guy that you would definitively, without question, take over Josh Allen. They've lost to Kansas City 3 times in the playoffs. I mean, Josh Allen is 2 or 3 plays away from being a multi-Super Bowl appearing quarterback and potentially Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's lost to Kansas City in the playoffs by freak defense and lost to Kansas City in the playoffs by missed field goal. It's a moronic statement to make, and for some reason, I don't know what the reason is, Josh Allen has become the cover boy for who could be the biggest hater and say the dumbest stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really agree with Orlovsky that much, but I'm with you. Josh Allen is... he's a tremendous player.
He's great, but this is what I don't
understand.
He's
not overrated, though.
No, he's absolutely right. He is not Patrick Mahomes, and he has to go through Patrick Mahomes every year, and he can't do it, which is understandable. Like, I get it. Right. He's just
not
Patrick Mahomes.
But that's what happens at that position when you don't win at all.
Yeah, but overrated saying is like...
But nobody in the AFC has won it all outside of Patrick Mahomes. So is every quarterback in the AFC overrated?
Well, yeah, Phillip Rivers was overrated. You know, all the guys that tried to win when...
Do you think Peyton Manning was overrated?
No.
Right.
But he won twice.
I get that, but I think when you're...
Up until 06, if the Patriots don't blow the AFC Championship of the 2006 season when they were making it 500 degrees and bringing in crowd noise at the RCA Dome... If they don't beat Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning is absolutely overrated. That at that stage of his career, he was an underperformer. How many one and duns did Peyton Manning have in the playoffs as a favorite?
Yeah, but Josh Allen, like, so my thing with Josh Allen is like, clearly, without a doubt, Patrick Mahomes is better than Josh Allen. We all agree there's no argument at this point because it's simply he loses to him every single time in the playoffs.
Right.
I get that. But if in a world where Patrick Mahomes doesn't exist, Josh Allen is cruising through the AFC every year.
I think
that's kind of the point.
Don't know, like, overrated, I kind of like where people, they give you this hype that you don't live up to. I don't think that's Josh Allen.
I think that people giving you the hype that you don't live up to is that you underperformed. Overachiever is like you're overachieving from what they thought you would be.
Right, right. Like Tom Brady's an overachiever.
Right.
Right. But I think when you say somebody's overrated, that means...
Overrated means people have this notion that you're this big thing and you're actually not.
Let me just ask this question. How many all-time great quarterbacks have been in their prime with a top five receiver and not won a Super Bowl? So you have Josh
Dan
Allen,
Marino?
Steph Diggs. Marino did not have a top five receiver.
I don't know. It's going at the...
Super duper. I mean, no. I do not think Marino had a top five receiver.
How many years did Peyton Manning have Marvin Harrison?
Right. He won.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if he didn't, that's a great one.
Yeah, but Josh Allen has only had Steph Diggs for like 3 years or
right.
two years.
Right. I'm just
years,
explaining to you. To break through this next level where Josh Allen is and where he's trying to go, there is a huge chasm between being close. The NFL is littered with very talented people that got close and lost. Like,
yes.
Jim Kelly is never remembered as the greatest or top five quarterback of all time, even though he went to four straight Super Bowls. He was surrounded by great players. They never broke through. You know, Scott Norwood, sorry, wide right. But I don't think it's as absurd of a claim for whoever the unnamed source is to say that Josh Allen needs to start advancing a bit.
Yeah, but
further.
He didn't say needs. He said he's overrated.
Well,
yeah.
At this stage, if you think he's an all-time great quarterback, he isn't.
Well, I don't think anybody's saying he's an all-time great quarterback. I just think he's the second best quarterback in football.
Where would you put him at quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
Number two.
Josh
after
Allen?
Mahomes.
No way.
Who would go better than Josh Allen?
Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen.
You know how much I love Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen is better than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's close.
I think Lamar Jackson is close. I think if Lamar Jackson had the weapons that Josh Allen has, they would be in the Super Bowl.
But Josh Allen has only had Steph Diggs, and last year Steph Diggs was like a shell of himself.
Steph Diggs 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was one of the more unstoppable forces in the entire league.
Mm-hmm.
If Lamar Jackson had anything approximating that, his best player is Mark Andrews, a tight end.
I think you're splitting hairs between Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Well, that's what you do.
Yeah,
and if Josh Allen had the defenses that Lamar had, they might have been able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Defense hasn't been too bad.
They've been decent. I agree with you, Curtis.
If you rip Matt Milano, Courtney and I will punch you.
Yeah. I think when you talk about Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, I think they're relatively close. So you can
Joe Burrow's an interesting name to throw in there, though. If Joe Burrow was healthy,
he's beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
Right.
And if they didn't fix it the other year, he would have won twice in a row at Arrowhead.
Right, yeah, but he's also just he's been unhealthy, as Courtney pointed out. He hasn't been healthy multiple times.
So Lamar Jackson hasn't been healthy.
I would say it's Mahomes, and then you could make the argument it's either Allen or Jackson. So I would put Josh Allen ahead of Joe Burrow. And I'd put Lamar Jackson ahead of Joe Burrow. So,
I agree.
So to me it's Mahomes. And then you make the argument for either Allen or Lamar Jackson, and it could go either way. And then I would think it's the next guy down would be like a Joe Burrow, but he's got to stop proving he can stay healthy.
Yeah, and I think the NFL quarterback rankings, it's literally Patrick Mahomes, and then there's just like a huge – there's nobody – I mean, Patrick Mahomes' biggest rival is quarterbacks that are no longer playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like – He's won three. I think he's already passed Montana, yeah, even though he's one away from him. What Mahomes is going after is no longer.
Yeah,
in
there's
NFL.
A couple tiers. You're right. And yeah. Mahomes is in the first one by himself. Then it's just about figuring out that this who the tier two guys are, and then who the tier three.
I mean,
guys
the win, that 49ers team is so talented, and it literally was Mahomes. Like, there's no other way to break
that's
that down. Like,
it's the quarterback.
It's just the quarterback, and it sucks that it's that easy, but. It is. I mean,
that's why I said, can you imagine if Brady was playing for San Francisco?
Oh, yeah, my God. You were right, Wiggs. What's next, Shammer?
We got one last one for you here. This was Bronny James. He had a great summer league game, mm-hmm. actually. A little bit of a bounce back for Bronny. Talked to the media and talked about what he's most excited for about playing with his dad and how their relationship is going to change going forward.
Relationship with your father evolving on and off the court?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big step for both of us. Yeah, I feel like, you know, playing together, going to work together every day, this is going to build on the relationship we already have. You know, build that connection maybe, you know, even stronger. But, you know, I'm excited to, you know, get to work on all that.
What are you looking for, what are you looking forward to the most?
Going against each other, right?
He has such an adult voice for a 19-year-old. You listen to that, you don't think he's 19. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, yeah.
It's
going
a good head on the shoulder. You know, I got to give, if you haven't seen Gilbert Arenas, he has a podcast. And you got to get, you should check it out. But he makes a lot of, like, valid points for defending Bronny James, which, and I didn't realize this. And he brought this up with one of the guys that, you know, we love here, and Jaylen Brown. He said through the first three games, like, the you know, the criticism of Bronny.
Yeah.
Through the first three games, Bronny, I think, was like 6 of 26. And Jaylen Brown, through his first three summer league games, was like 5 of 26. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, obviously, I get it wasn't talked about because Jaylen Brown was the third overall pick and Bronny's 55th. And just like the criticism or just the microscope that he's under. And I get it. Your dad is LeBron. But just to, like, see, like, how much he's getting scrutinized.
Yeah.
And then they put up a stat against the number one overall pick. And it was just, like, it was interesting just to see the criticism that he gets just because of who his father is.
Right. Yeah. I think he was drafted where he was because of his dad, yep. which is a good thing. And then he gets extra scrutiny because of his dad, which is a bad thing. And
right.
that's, you know, as Courtney just said, I mean, I think he's... If anybody was prepared for what was about to
right.
come into his world, it is Bronny. I remember back to when LeBron was finishing up his senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Vitale, I was in my dorm at BC watching Dick Vitale call whatever the – it was a Catholic – I don't know what the school was.
Some Irish, I forget.
And it was the first time in my life I'd ever seen ESPN covering
right. –
college basketball. And I've said it before, LeBron, and I don't agree with a lot of the things he says, but from 2002
mm-hmm.
until 2024, he has been in the Mount Rushmore of biggest sports stars in America,
mm-hmm.
where there really is, you know, the biggest negative nationally is that he got his kid onto his team. Like,
right.
Which everybody would do if right. they had the opportunity.
Right. Well, like think about LeBron, and I know we...
St. Mary's? Was that
something along those lines.
Anyway.
But when he came into the league, and there's never been a player like him, he came into the league with, as like you said, a 17-year-old kid on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Right, he's like Bryce Harper, like those two. Bryce Harper was like 13 on the cover of SI and LeBron.
Right, but the thing that made it even more difficult for LeBron is they were saying, could he be better than Jordan?
Right.
So, like, you haven't even played a game in the NBA, and you see other players coming into the league, but when they were comparing and saying, could this kid be better than Michael Jordan, think about how much pressure that has to be for somebody who's 17. And like you said, he's been in the league and he's kind of lived up to the hype and he's off the court. He's never had any like issues cheating on his wife or, you know, multiple baby mamas or getting in trouble.
Right. Tyreek Hill, is he a dad again yet since the last
fifth time?
Fifth time this year, but his wife is pregnant.
Oh, good. Well,
like 12 kids. Damn.
The best tweet or text when we were talking about that was like, ooh, 17 years from now, it's going to be a hell of an NIL class.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Well, that's what they said. Thank you, Shime. Looking very svelte in that Drake May number 10.
Appreciate you. It's a comfy
jersey. You should put the May on the front as well so people aren't confused.
Yeah, it's very right. confusing.
It's very off-putting for the hate you had for the former number 10.
That's fair.
Or how about like not Mac?
Whoa, not Mac on the front, May on the back.
Or you should start a petition to get to Drake May for him to change his number.
But he already bought the jersey.
Right. No,
but it's all right. He can get another one. Like, I think Drake May has to change his number. Because it's like, every time I see that 10, I'm like...
If he was like 18, you could just throw a white mark in the middle of it to make it an 8.
Yep, that would work. Yeah. Or, yeah, just say, you know... I agree, Wiggy. I think he should just change his number.
You should do like those Pats fans did, do the half Brady, half Tampa, half New England. He should do half Mac, half May.
Never. I will never wear anything with Mac Jones on it.
Thank you, Shime. The news with Courtney comes up next.
It's time for...
I rise today to recognize a specially crafted food that draws people from across the country to my hometown of New Haven, Connecticut. It is called Abiz.
The news.
It's not no bad pizza. New York pizza sucks. Connecticut pizza sucks.
It does.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
The new line on Unlimited Ultimate. Sorry, let me try this one more time.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI.
All right, Courtney, where do we begin this Thursday?
We're going to start with Joe Biden. He has tested positive for COVID-19. Uh-oh. The 81-year-old was experiencing mild symptoms and has already received his first dose of the antiviral, according to his doctor. Biden told reporters yesterday that he felt good while flashing a thumbs up while boarding Air Force One in Las Vegas to head to his Delaware residence, where he will be self-isolating there.
So, updated, I've been following, they have all these poly markets, online odds, all this stuff. So, basically, up until yesterday, there was a leak of an interview where Biden said, should there be a health issue, he would consider stepping down, which is the sort of first opening. Right now, Kamala Harris is the overwhelming favorite to be the Democratic presidential nominee. And I believe that that is going to continue. If I were running, I'm not. If I were in charge of the Democrats... I would, at 5 o'clock today, announce Kamala Harris is the nominee. Joe Biden is stepping down because at around 8 or 9 tonight, it's going to be the first time former President Trump is speaking in prime time to accept the Republican nomination for president. That is a massive event, which would be somewhat stunted should the Democrats, because my guess is his speech is not about Kamala Harris or anything like that. It would be a way to sort of retake some of the spotlight in a way that is not an attacking way, just a big news switch for the ticket atop the Democrats.
I will also say good move by the RNC yesterday by having Kai Trump, Donald Trump, his granddaughter, Donald Trump Jr.'s daughter, speak. It was her first time publicly speaking. She's a big golfer, but it humanized him. It wasn't really a political speech. It was really more about who he is to her as a grandfather. So, I mean, no matter what side of the aisle you fall on, everybody, you know, has a grandparent. So it humanized him, I thought.
And one thing, I've thought of this, you know, probably never going to happen, but wouldn't it be a cool thing for whoever the president is, so they're having, even if they're not running for re-election, at the White House over the summer, you have a bipartisan barbecue where you invite the other family, their grandkids. So, like, you know, the Bushes would have had the McCains and the Obamas over to the White House. Or the Obamas would have had the Clintons and the Trumps.
I would pay for that one.
There's going to be some fights there. Yeah.
Like, you have everybody come over. You know, if we can't break bread together and sit down...
Curtis, ain't nobody breaking bread at that type of event.
But why? It's just politics. Who cares?
What, haven't you been to enough family gatherings where the two things they tell you not to talk about is religion and politics, because that can lead to fisticuffs?
But you can. You can go to somebody's house and not ask them their thoughts on abortion.
Not everybody can, though. It's a very weird time that we live. Like, I'm not somebody that picks my friends or my family relationships based on who you vote for. Yeah. Like, I can have open conversations with both sides.
I can care less.
But there are people, even people my age, who I know drop friends because they find out who they vote for. So it's... It's not great.
Especially nowadays.
Can you imagine judging someone based on who they vote for?
It's happening every day.
Where have you been?
But it's just so pathetic. Those are such children.
Go to Facebook or any social media, and people are like, once they see, like, I didn't know that was their political beliefs, block. Yep. That's the way, and family is just as worse. You'll come to blows with people. I mean, it doesn't bother me,
but my mom,
there are plenty of families.
My godfather, Johnny, my mom's brother, my mom and him are best friends. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, a great guy. He lives in Hadley, mm-hmm. and he is to the left of Bernie, and my mom is conservative, and we can have dinner and...
That's very rare
yes,
nowadays.
Yes, that is very, very
but
rare.
But it's like, it's her brother. It's
no, I know.
My uncle. It's
my, like, my dad has friends, yeah. Republican, Democrat, all over, like middle, all over the place.
If
and
you change who you hang out with based on who they vote for, you are a loser.
Curtis comes, you, I got to give you a lot of credit. You must come from a family where there is no dysfunction at
oh
all.
Oh my God, we built dysfunction. I mean, talk about dysfunction.
My grandfather did not talk to his brothers and sisters forever and then died. Like, so the whole thing of like having people like, you know, coming over and talking, Paul, like there are people in my family that haven't talked, relatives that haven't talked in years and don't plan on it.
But so based on who you vote for?
Oh, yeah.
That's based off because you own $5. So can you imagine?
But I think that there are a lot of families
oh, yeah.
that are broken up right now based off.
I want you to call in now. 617-779-7937. Have you lost friends based on voting?
Oh.
Because that is.
I bet relationships have ended.
Yes.
Like
romantic relationships?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I bet marriages.
Oh, yeah.
Because of elections?
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet any amount of money that somebody will call up and go, I haven't talked to my mother in 3 years
yeah.
because of who she votes
yep.
for.
God, go outside. Like, if you have a kid and you're changing who you hang out with based on who they vote for,
yeah.
you have the everything in your mind is whack. If you think either side in any way has any purity to stand behind, you are the
Curtis,
biggest moron
listen,
on the planet.
Great point by Guy from the 413. Remember during COVID?
Yeah.
People were losing friends over
right.
whether they were getting vaccinated, not vaccinated, masked, not masked. Like
Curtis, I know you wish you live in the Emerald City, buddy, but it's not like that. And today, you know, yeah, it's probably been like that for a long time.
Yeah.
But just people will just, they'll cut. I told you, there are parents or kids that will cut their parents off because of their political beliefs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It is wild. The phones are lighting up with this. Courtney, we're going to continue the news in 1 minute. Let's
okay.
get to a break here quickly. I'm sorry. I'm fascinated by this. If you've lost friends or changed relationships in your life based on who somebody voted for, I want to hear from you, 617-779-7937. We are here in the greatest country ever created, the United States of America.
It's time for...
I rise today to recognize a specially crafted food that draws people from across the country to my hometown of New Haven, Connecticut. It is called Abiz.
The news.
It's not no Bob Pizza. New York pizza sucks. Connecticut pizza sucks.
It does.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
The new line on Unlimited Ultimate. Sorry, let me try this one more time.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI.
All right, Courtney, where do we begin this Thursday?
We're going to start with Joe Biden. He has tested positive for COVID-19.
Uh-oh.
The 81-year-old was experiencing mild symptoms and has already received his first dose of the antiviral, according to his doctor. Biden told reporters yesterday that he felt good while flashing a thumbs up while boarding Air Force One in Las Vegas to head to his Delaware residence, where he will be self-isolating there.
So updated, I've been following, they have all these poly markets, online odds, all this stuff. So basically up until yesterday,
mm-hmm.
there was a leak of an interview where Biden said, should there be a health issue, he would consider stepping down, which
yeah.
is the sort of first opening. Right now, Kamala Harris is the overwhelming favorite to be the Democratic presidential nominee. And I believe that that is going to continue. If I were running, I'm not. If I were in charge of the Democrats, I would, at 5 o'clock today,
mm-hmm.
announce Kamala Harris is the nominee. Joe Biden is stepping down because at around 8 or 9 tonight, it's going to be the first time former President Trump is speaking in prime time to accept the Republican nomination for president. That is a massive event, which would be somewhat stunted should the Democrats, because my guess is his speech is not about Kamala Harris or anything like that. It would be a way to sort of retake some of the spotlight in a way that is not an attacking way, just a big news switch for the ticket atop the Democrats.
I will also say good move by the RNC yesterday by having Kai Trump, Donald Trump, his granddaughter, Donald Trump Jr.'s daughter, speak. It was her first time publicly speaking. She's a big golfer, right. But it humanized him. It wasn't really a political speech. It was really more about who he is to her as a grandfather. So, I mean, no matter what side of the aisle you fall on, everybody, you know, has a grandparent. So right. it humanized him, I thought.
And one thing, I've thought of this, mm-hmm. you know, probably never going to happen, but wouldn't it be a cool thing for whoever the president is, so they're having, even if they're not running for re-election, mm-hmm. at the White House over the summer, you have a bipartisan barbecue where you invite the other family, their grandkids. So, like, you know, the Bushes would have had the McCains and the Obamas over to the White House. So yeah. the Obamas would have had the Clintons and the Trumps. But
I would pay for that one.
There will be some fights there. Yeah.
Like, you have everybody come over. You know, if we can't break bread together and sit down.
Curtis, ain't nobody breaking bread at that type of event.
But why? It's just politics. Who cares?
What, haven't you been to enough family gatherings where the two things they tell you not to talk about is religion and politics, because that can lead to fisticuffs?
But you can. You can go to somebody's house and not ask them their thoughts on abortion.
Not everybody can, though. It's a very weird time that we live. Like, I'm not somebody that picks my friends or my family relationships based on who you vote for. Yeah. Like, I can have open conversations with both sides.
I can care less.
But there are people, even people my age, who I know drop friends because they find out who they vote for. So it's... it's not great.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah. Can you imagine judging someone based on who they vote for?
It's happening every day.
Where have you been?
But it's just so pathetic. They're such children.
Go to Facebook or any social media, and people are like, once they see, like, I didn't know that that was their political beliefs, block.
Yep.
That's the way, and family is just as worse. You'll come to blows with people. I mean, it doesn't bother me,
but
there are plenty of families.
My godfather, Johnny, my mom's brother, my mom and him are best friends. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, great guy. He lives in Hadley, mm-hmm. and he is to the left of Bernie, and my mom is conservative, and we can have dinner and...
That's very rare nowadays.
Yes, that is very, very
rare. But it's like, it's her brother. It's my uncle. It's like,
my dad has friends, Republican, Democrat, all over, like, middle, all over the place.
If you change who you hang out with based on who they vote for, you are a loser.
Curtis comes, I got to give you a lot of credit. You must come from a family where there is no dysfunction at all.
Oh, my God. We built dysfunction. I mean, talk about dysfunction.
My grandfather did not talk to his brothers and sisters forever and then died. Like, so the whole thing of, like, having people, like, you know, coming over and talking, Paul, like, there are people in my family that haven't talked, relatives that haven't talked in years and don't plan on it.
But so based on who you vote for?
Oh, yeah.
That's based off because you own $5. So can you imagine?
But I think that there are a lot of families that are broken up right now based off.
I want you to call in now. 617-779-7937. Have you lost friends based on voting? Because that is...
I bet relationships have ended.
Yes.
Like,
romantic relationships?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I bet marriages.
Oh, yeah.
Because of elections?
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet any amount of money that somebody will call up and go, I haven't talked to my mother in 3 years because of who she votes for.
God, go outside. Like, if you have a kid and you're changing who you hang out with based on who they vote for, you have everything in your mind is whack. If you think either side in any way has any purity to stand behind, you are biggest moron on the planet.
Great point by Guy from the 413. Remember during COVID?
Yeah.
People were losing friends over whether they were getting vaccinated, not vaccinated, masked, not masked. Like,
Curtis, I know you wish you live in the Emerald City, buddy, but it's not like that. And today, you know, it's probably been like that for a long time.
Yeah.
But just people will just, they'll cut. I told you, there are parents or kids that will cut their parents off because of their political beliefs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It is wild. The phones are lighting up with this. Courtney, we're going to continue the news in 1 minute. Let's get to a break here quickly. I'm sorry. I'm fascinated by this. If you've lost friends or changed relationships in your life based on who somebody voted for, I want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. We are here in the greatest country ever created, the United States of America.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.